Welcome to the Building Stories podcast series. My name is Amy Barnes, and I'll be your host as we explore some of Ontario's built heritage. This series will include 15 podcasts in total, so if you enjoyed today's show, be sure to check out some of the others. Each podcast is going to explore a different topic related to heritage conservation in different regions of Ontario. The podcast will include a brief history of the building, interviews with people who have some connection to this space, but the ultimate goal is to try and tell stories about the buildings, stories about the space that most people don't know. Each one is going to be different, because the truth is, each building has a different past, and each building has a different story to tell us. So without further ado, let's get started on today's topic. Our journey today will take us about an hour east of Toronto to the town of Cobourg, affectionately nicknamed Ontario's feel-good town. Cobourg was settled in 1798 by United Empire Loyalists and officially incorporated as a town on July 1, 1837. Cobourg retains its small-town charm, even with its population over 18,000 people. It is a very well-preserved main street, which complements the historic feel of the community. And somewhere roughly in the middle of that traditional main street, you will find one of the oldest buildings in town and the topic of our conversation today. Victoria Hall, or also known as the Cobourg Town Hall, is a three-story neoclassical-style stone building with an amazing and prominent clock tower. The building dominates the streetscape, and it's impossible to miss. Victoria Hall was designed by Toronto architect Kivas Tully, or it might be Kivas Tully, I'm not 100% sure. Regardless, he designed the monumental building during a time of great prosperity and optimism for Cobourg. The intricate stonework was done by English-born master stone carver Charles Thomas. This would have been no small feat considering the size and scale of the building. But he also added little details which are still visible today. For example, as you enter in the main entrance of the building, look up and you will see the bearded face keystone that exemplifies Thomas's intricate stone carving skills. Such a grand building for a booming town meant that a grand opening was needed. And who better to officially open Victoria Hall than the Prince of Wales himself, who would later become King Edward VII. Opening took place in 1860, and the building has remained a very important landmark for Cobourg ever since. The impressive exterior is matched by some of the unique interior features that have survived throughout the many years of use. To get a better understanding of some of these features and some of the stories that the building can tell, I had the pleasure of speaking with Alistair Commons, who is a member of the Cobourg ACO branch.
I'm Alistair Commons with the Cobourg branch.
Our conversation started out like many do, with how did you become involved with the building? Now, Alistair's involvement started in 2008 when he was asked to set up a committee to help celebrate the 150th anniversary of the hall, which took place in 2010. It was through this project that he really got to know the building, from the top of the clock tower to the depths of the basement. I then asked Alistair to tell me how the ACO became involved, and here's what he had to say.
Actually, the ACO's involvement came a little bit later. The hall had some severe structural problems, which were identified in the early 70s, and a Society for the Preservation of Victoria Hall was set up. Somewhat later, as the process got underway, some of the people who were involved in that did end up setting up a branch of the Cobourg ACO. So really, the preservation of Victoria Hall predates ACO, but we've been very much involved with it ever since.
Alistair went on to tell me that the town of Cobourg currently owns the building, but the ACO will always have a connection to its past and present. I then asked Alistair to explain a little bit about the history of space and asked him about one particular feature in Concert Hall that I personally love.
Just to give you an idea, the building was originally sort of thought of about 1852, and the idea was to put up a building that was grand enough that would convince the powers that be that Cobourg should be the provincial capital. And so the building was financed and put together over a period of years and finally was opened in 1860. So since that time, it's been the seat of government for the town of Cobourg and for many years the county of Northumberland and also the courts and at one point the Masonic Lodge. So it's had a lot of things going on over the years, and it's been consistently part of the town and, in fact, the hub of the town.
I think 3 years ago, the Ontario Heritage Conference was hosted in Cobourg, and Victoria Hall was one of the key venues in which speakers presented. And I distinctly remember it was a phenomenal ceiling in that room.
Yes.
Was that part of the original design and redone in later years, do you know?
Yes. In the sort of restoration of the hall, it was determined that a drop ceiling had been put in the concert hall. And after that was removed, enough intact samples of the original plaster with the original artwork were found, so that it was possible to replicate that and redo it completely. And so the hall now, at least the concert hall, is back to its original dimensions and with literally its original decoration.
The concert hall is no doubt one of the dominant features of the building, but many don't know that it also has an old Bailey-style courtroom, the likes of which I've never seen anywhere. It's really hard to describe, especially the old Bailey-style one, so you can Google it, or better yet, the building is open to the public, so why don't you go take a public tour? This way you can see it for yourself, and while you're at it, you can check out that amazing ceiling and concert hall. Tours are offered on most weekends during the summer and on a restricted basis in the winter, so just check with the hall before you plan on visiting. I had to ask what makes the building special to the community, so we'll pick up our conversation with Alistair there.
Well, I particularly like the fact that the building is not a museum, it's a working building. It's totally restored, it's quite authentic, and every square inch of it is used either for the local government or for community events or for weddings or for you name it. So it's very much part of the town, and I think that's just a tremendous thing.
What do you wish people knew about the building that you can't automatically see from just looking at it?
Well,
are there secret chambers?
I've looked, and if there are any secret chambers, they're no longer there. But it's interesting to note that when building started, or at least construction started in 1852, the then premier of the province of Upper Canada, a gentleman by the name of Sir Henry McNab, I think it was, actually planted a cornerstone with a box in it that contained the usual sorts of things that people put in cornerstones. In the 1970s, when the restoration was going on, people looked in vain for that. And finally they found it way underground, and apparently what had happened was the whole building had settled. And the cornerstone, which was originally up above the surface, was now underground. And unfortunately, because of that, the contents of the box were pretty much ruined by moisture that got in. So that's kind of an interesting thing, I think. I think the other thing that's unique is that construction started in 1852 and fundraising started in 1852. But it took until 1939 to pay off all the debt in the building. So that's a pretty remarkably long period to be paying. It was controversial when it was built. It's remained controversial for most of its life. When it became time to do something about it, there were people in town who wanted to knock it down and make either a parking lot or a skating rink. And thank goodness they were not successful.
Thank goodness indeed. I couldn't imagine such a large and glamorous building gone and replaced with a parking lot. It forms a focal point for the whole downtown, and as Alistair told me, it imposes a discipline on the way people look after the buildings around it. They have to try and maintain them and to look consistent with the period. I ended our conversation by asking if there was anything he wanted to add about the space that most people didn't know, and here's what he had to say.
The structural problems with the building that caused it to be closed down and the restoration to start came to a head with a performance of Guys and Dolls in 1971 in the concert hall. A dancing scene in Guys and Dolls caused the floor to oscillate to the point where people got very concerned about it, and at that point, or at least shortly thereafter, engineers were brought in to take a look at the situation, and they found that the floor beams were not connected to anything. They'd rotted away at the ends. So it was then that the noted architect, Peter John Stokes, was brought in to advise on the restoration of the hall. And one of the first things he had to do, of course, was to stabilize it from an engineering perspective.
So the play really brought the house down.
Literally, almost did.
Well, there you have it. A little snapshot of Victoria Hall in Cobourg, Ontario. If you want to learn more about the hall, you can go see it in person, or there's numerous websites out there with lots of information on the topic. You can also learn more about the hall as it has an entry on the Building Stories website. This can be found at www.buildingstories.co. Now that's .co, not .com or .ca. If you want to learn more about the Architecture Conservancy of Ontario and its involvement with the preservation and conservation of buildings all over Ontario, the ACO is celebrating its 80th anniversary by putting together a book. Now, this book will feature 80 buildings the organization has had a hand in saving over the last 80 years. Now, the Building Stories episode you heard today is just one that will be included, but there are many, many more interesting stories out there to discover. You can get the book starting in November 2013 by ordering it online through the Architecture Conservancy of Ontario's website. This is www.arconserv.ca. I'd like to end by thanking all the people who took the time to speak with me about today's topic. Your knowledge and insight were greatly appreciated. The Building Stories podcast series could not have been made possible without our sponsors, so a big thank you goes out to the Architecture Conservancy of Ontario, the Heritage Resource Centre at the University of Waterloo, the Centre for Community Mapping, the Computer Systems Group at the University of Waterloo, and the Government of Ontario. If you have any comments about today's show, we would love to hear from you. You can email the Building Stories team at info@buildingstories.co or send them a tweet at Building Stories, which is BLDG_stories. And of course, you can also find them on Facebook under the Building Stories Facebook page. These podcasts have been written, produced, and hosted by myself, Amy Barnes, and I'd like to take this last moment to thank you all for listening.